What a wonderful example of someone trusting Jesus at his word. But of course, it brings a challenge to us this morning as we reflect on it and as we think about it. I want you to reflect for a moment on being in a place of desperation, a place where there seems no obvious path out. As many of you will have known, earlier in the summer, myself and Michael got a wee bit stuck. We were going up Ben Nevis. To say a wee bit stuck is perhaps an understatement. But having gone up the route, we backed off the route that we were doing, and we couldn't go any further down, and we couldn't go any further back up. We were stuck. We were in a place where we couldn't see the obvious route out. If I'm honest, I'm still a bit fragile talking about it, and it's not something I volunteer easily. But here's the thing. You don't have to be on the mountainside. You don't have to be anywhere near Ben Nevis to imagine the situation in life where things seem desperate. The kind of situation where there's no obvious path out. So look out this morning and think of conversations that I've been having this week. I'm in no doubt that at different times and different seasons, and perhaps even now, we'll find ourselves in the situation where things just seem so desperate. Perhaps it's a feeling of isolation. Perhaps it's feeling low. Perhaps it's a physical ailment. Perhaps it's the imminent loss of a loved one, a family member, or a friend. That kind of situation where we just don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. There's nothing we can do on our own strength and our own merit with our own insight or anything else to bring a change to that situation. That old adage that the Bible is out of date, we were thinking about that last week. It certainly isn't, is it not? Because here we see a man who is in a desperate situation. His son is lying sick on the verge of death. There is no obvious way out of this situation. Things are so desperate that he makes the long walk all the way from Capernaum to Judea. He leaves the bedside to come all the way to find Jesus. Here is an example, if ever there was, of someone who is in a desperate situation. And as we look at his situation, what we'll see is that he is persistent. He is persistent in coming to Jesus and requesting and pleading with him. But so too he is accepting. He accepts Jesus' words when Jesus says, "Your son is healed." Let's have a wee think, though, about the wider location of this. Now, we can do our geography lesson, and that's helpful. If you've got a map at the back of your Bible, it's a great tool because you can see where Jesus had come from, where he was going, where this man had come from, and all the rest. But as much as we map out the physical geography, what's really important is that we map out what's going on in John's Gospel. Why these things are being recorded the way in which they are, and what it is that they say to us. This sign, as it says right at the end, at verse 54, this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming to Judea from Galilee. This is the second of what we refer to as the seven signs in John's Gospel. Now, these seven signs, as it says there, these seven signs are written that we might believe. John is taking the time to carefully record them. This is what he says later on in the Gospel after all these signs have been recorded. And we're going to go on and look at these signs across the coming weeks. But John, when he's reflecting back the way about why he has written them, says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. I dare say that when he was in Samaria, it says there that he was there for 2 days. No doubt there was many signs that took place there. It says many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here John takes the time to record these signs. So as we look at it this morning, yes, we see this wonderful example of faith. This wonderful example of someone trusting in Jesus. But so too what resonates for us this morning is this challenge. John says, I'm writing down these particular signs because I want you to believe. I want you to believe that you can turn to Jesus when times are desperate. I want you to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So let's delve a little bit deeper. Let's look at that man's example of faith. The way in which he carried himself in this desperate, desperate situation. And we're going to think first about persisting. What we see is that this man persists for something authentic. He doesn't give up easily. There's many people around that wanted these miracles to be performed so they could see them and wonder at them. Jesus challenges them on this. But here this man persists. He is going for something authentic. Now, in our culture, we don't have to think far or long or have to think very hard to imagine the situation where actually authenticity is a bit of a struggle. The kind of situation where we want to bend and to twist things to suit ourselves. There's this phenomenon. I'm going to start that again because my nose is a bit blocked. You know the word I mean. I'll not try it again and embarrass myself. There's this situation, or something similar, a thing called Photoshop. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's this wonderful program on your computer, and you can take a photo, and you can change it. Photos, the things that you would think would be a snapshot that can't be changed, something of a particular time and space, well, you can change it. You can tweak it to suit. You can make yourself look bigger. Give yourself nice big muscles or whatever else. As we see in the magazines, you can make yourself look thinner and all the rest and touch up all the imperfections. You can do lots of funny things as well. You sometimes see pictures where people have morphed faces onto different bodies and all the rest. In fact, I saw a recent story about a friend who wanted to do a nice gesture for her friend who'd split up with her partner. And so what she did was she got all the group photos and she photoshopped the ex-partner out of all these group photos. So it looked as if they'd never been there in the first place. Here's the challenge, though. We get in this situation where things are no longer authentic. We bend and we twist things to suit ourselves. Well, if this is something that we see today, let me say that this predates Photoshop, this predates photos altogether. The kind of scenario where people will twist something to suit. You see, there was all these people who would come to Jesus expecting these wonderful miracles. They wanted Jesus on their terms. They wanted the Jesus who would suit. This still happens today. Perhaps we want the political figure Jesus. Perhaps we want the meek and mild and warm and fuzzy kind of Jesus to suit. There were these people who saw these signs and wonders and were puffed up by them, no doubt. But the reality is that this didn't elicit belief. Later on in the gospel, Jesus would challenge this. All these people that have seen these signs and wonders, yet they don't believe. We need to strive for something authentic. We need to persist for something authentic, something that is a true representation of what we see and believe. And well, that's exactly the case for this man. He persists. He persists through even when he is rebuffed by Jesus. Here's what is said. He goes to him and he begs him. It's not just casual. Could you come and see my son? He's a bit under the weather. He begs with Jesus. The kind of persisting that doesn't give up. Come and heal his son. He was close to death. Now Jesus says this statement which kind of leaves you scratching your head. Especially when you think of how bereft this man must have been. He challenges him. Unless you people see signs and wonders, You will never believe. These people that wanted Jesus on their terms, wanted to see these signs and wonders. But here this man persists. He persists to something authentic. He isn't put off and he continues. Sir, come down before my child dies. It's a wonderful example of faith. But right at the core of this is that authenticity. That authenticity about what so burdens this man. The challenge that he's working through. Is there not a danger that we get caught up in taking our troubles to a Jesus of our own makings? Something inauthentic. Here this man cuts above that as he persists in reaching Jesus. Well, after that exchange, we see the most wonderful example of faith. This man accepts what Jesus says to him. In many ways, verse 50 is just such a key to what's going on in this passage. Jesus says, "Your son will live." And the man took Jesus at his word, and he departed. He went back to Capernaum. Now, we've already been chatting with our neighbours. You've probably got a good idea how good they are at accepting things. What about accepting an invitation, a bargain, something that seems too good to be true? What about, though, when it's something that we've been wrestling with? Something that is so burdened us. Here's this display of faith. The man took Jesus at his word. Now, with such a key verse, perhaps we should just look a bit deeper at what's going on. Jesus calls for action. He says, "Go." It's quite a call, is it not? What authority Jesus must have commanded. Because as we see, the man had confidence in that. He departed in faith. But Jesus had words to say to him alone. "Your son will live." Now I know that it's a challenge when we start to think about the nature of healing. I know that it's something I wrestle with myself. But here's the thing that I am certain of. We can have confidence in Jesus' words. He said to that man, "Your son will live," and the man took him at his words. He says to us, "Never will I leave you or forsake you." He says to us, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Now for me, these are just some verses that come to mind, but there are many others where Jesus' words are spoken to us. Here for this man, it related to healing. But for us, there is other examples of trust. And then, what a wonderful example. The man departed. He was off back for that long walk to Capernaum. Now we can look at it on a map, that's all well and good. But imagine the faith to about turn and go back to your son's sick bed, only just hearing the words of Jesus that his son would live. It's quite interesting, is it not? Jesus had challenged these people, the onlookers, and indeed the man himself, but these people who come just looking for signs. Yet what sign did they see? They only heard Jesus' words. Yes, the boy was healed, but none of those who are present would have known that with any certainty. Yet this man took Jesus at his words. Now the story carries on. That faith was confirmed when folks met him and shared that his son was living. He inquired, and it was the same time that Jesus had said. And they were told that that man believed in Jesus, but not just him. his whole family too. They hadn't heard Jesus' words. We don't know if they had met him as well. But his whole household believed because of this wonderful example. Jesus bringing about a change in their desperate situation. So, a fine example. We say to John, who's taken the time to write these things, thanks so much, John. It's a really good example. I'm glad you chose that one in particular. That guy's faith, really encouraging, really filled me up for the week ahead. I can't wait to find out what the next sign will be. Thanks so much, John. And we tap him on the head and say goodbye. Here's the challenge, though. John didn't write these for his own good. He didn't write them just to keep the gospel being captivating and exciting. Of the signs that he chose them for a purpose. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Can we really just say thank you very cordially to John for writing such a fine example when we see this verse? These are written that you might believe. So the example that you find yourself in where things just seem so desperate, where there is no visible path out, where you put your hands up saying, I don't know the answer. In fact, I'm struggling to even know what the question is. The situation where things are hopeless. Do you believe? John writes these things that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Do you believe that we can turn to him with our burdens? That we can persist where we are hurting, where we are aching, where we are longing? Do you believe? Do you accept those words? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Do you believe? It doesn't stop there, though. I'm a preacher. I've got to keep on adding bits in, do I not? There's many out there who are also burdened. As we look out, as we think of our homes, as we think of our friends, as we think of our family, as we think of the person that we sit down next to at the bus stop, there are many out there who are burdened. Those who walk with such grief, do they not need to hear that we can believe in Jesus, even in the most desperate of situations, just as this man found himself in? There's a challenge to us, but so too there's something wonderful and glorious to share. Imagine the joy. Imagine the joy for that man's household. They'd been caught up in the very same despair. Yet there they were rejoicing at that wonderful news. We have something glorious to share. Let us pray together.